Listen up, MuggleCast listeners. Get $96 in free extras with your domain name from GoDaddy.com. Each domain includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Plus, as a listener of MuggleCast, enter code HARRY, that's H-A-R-R-Y, when you check out, and save an additional $5 off of any order of $30 or more. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Because MySpace.com/MuggleCastFans hit over 5,000 friends this week, this is MuggleCast Episode 72 for January 14th, 2007. Yakshamash! Welcome to another episode of MuggleCast. What do you guys think of my Borat impression?
It was lame.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. You're just trying to win the fangirls over.
No, I'm just...
That was a desperate attempt to win the fangirls
well,
over.
Well, Borat doesn't really win fangirls, so I wasn't really trying to go for that. What do you think, Jamie?
It was nice.
It's nice? You like?
I like.
It's another week here on MuggleCast. We have more Deathly Hallows discussion, and...
I can't wait.
We have a very big announcement. Actually, there's two. One about some live podcasts that we're doing, but there's also a bigger one that we're very proud of.
Very proud.
Huge.
And excited. Proud and excited.
It's a MuggleCast exclusive.
Yeah.
Very exclusive. I mean, this is literally way bigger than any other Harry Potter podcast, what they've done.
Bigger than I expected it to be, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge.
But my name is Borat. Andrew Sims.
I sell my wife.
My name is, Ben. No, you're not Jamie Lawrence. You're not Jamie Lawrence until I'm Ben Shane, okay? I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
Micah Tan here with the past week's top Harry Potter news stories. Mary Grand Prix, the artist who illustrated the U.S. Harry Potter books, recently said in an interview that she has no details on Deathly Hallows and has therefore not yet decided on a cover color. She also noted that Order of the Phoenix is her favorite cover. Jason Isaacs, the actor who plays Lucius Malfoy, recently spoke about the closing scenes of the Order of the Phoenix movie, particularly the battle he shot alongside Gary Oldman. Furthermore, the actor caught up with Jo and appealed for her to include his character in Deathly Hallows. He said, "I fell to my knees and begged. It didn't do any good. I'm sure she doesn't need plot ideas from me, but I made my point. We'll see. Like everybody else, I'm holding my breath to July to see what's in there. I just want to bust out of prison, that's all. I don't want to stay in Azkaban most of my life." Just a note, even though Jason did say July, there is no confirmation yet on a release date for Deathly Hallows. Warner Brothers has integrated the Order of the Phoenix teaser trailer and poster into the existing Goblet of Fire layout on HarryPotter.com. A full refresh of the website will likely appear in the next few months when the movie's release date draws closer. The March 2007 issue of Toy Fair magazine has several photos of the new Order of the Phoenix action figures, which are set to be released in March. Alongside the photos is a new interview with NECA's head of product development, where he talks about the new toys and discusses what's ahead. Warner Brothers has moved forward the release date of Order of the Phoenix in Spain to July 13th. According to HarryLatino.com, this decision was made in order to help prevent piracy. The original date was a week later on July 20th. This is the first time in Spain that a Potter film will be released on the same day as in the US and UK. Wrapping up movie news in a new interview, Order of the Phoenix director David Yates spoke about how, having produced politically charged films like The Girl in the Cafe, he was surprised when approached to direct Order of the Phoenix. Yates, who had never read the Harry Potter books, said, "It was interesting to get the call. I wouldn't have put myself forward as an obvious candidate. However, after reading Order of the Phoenix, he realized the novel had strong political overtones. He went on to say, and it's probably the most emotional of all the books, as I read the book, suddenly, I tuned into the kind of thing I've always been drawn to. Last September, we told you that Bloomsbury, in celebration of their 21st birthday, would re-release 21 books, including Philosopher's Stone. The new version of Book 1 is now available and includes a short introduction by J.K. Rowling. Finally, a recent survey indicated that 25% of independent bookstores may not stock the seventh Harry Potter book due to the fact that they cannot match the bargain prices of their larger competitors. According to one independent bookstore owner, independent bookshops are being discriminated against and being offered a lower discount and are being cut out of the market. This makes it impossible for them to compete against companies like Amazon and supermarkets. Despite having to take a loss on sales, many other small shops still plan to stock the highly anticipated novel in order to maintain customer loyalty. That's all the news for this January 14th, 2007 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
All right. Thank you, Micah.
For what?
The news.
Oh.
First of all, just quick apology. MuggleCast 71 last week, I screwed up a bit. Some people who downloaded the show missed
they heard
a
me
big
drop
part
the
of-
F-bomb.
And I left a curse word in accidentally. So far, only one person noticed. It's not going to get... Not gonna get any more emails than that, but
Here's Andrew's listener challenge. If you had that show, go back and find the curse word.
No, let's not. Let's delete it and re-download the version that is clean. Thank you. So just apology for that. That was all my fault. I don't even know what I did, but it's my fault somehow.
You swore. That's what you did.
Yeah. We have a few announcements for everyone this week. We want to remind everyone to vote for us on Podcast Alley. We're actually. Let me check. I'm pretty sure we're number one right now.
What does it take to be number one?
A lot of fans. Yeah, we're number one right now. We're doing really good on Podcast Alley. Beating Keith and the Girl, Free Talk Live, the Super Secret Backstage Show, whatever that is, Common Sense with Dan Carlin. I mean, the next Harry Potter podcast on that list is number six. I mean, let's be serious.
That's been terrible.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
What a joke.
We also want to remind everyone that Digg.com has a great new podcasting section, and we want to get up on the rankings there, too, because Digg.com is a big social bookmark website where people submit like cool sites and cool podcasts now, and we want to spread the word through Digg now, because Digg's a mostly nerd site, but I'm sure there's some Harry Potter fans in the mix somewhere, so thanks for that. It's just a quick Digg. Also, we want to announce this week, we've been getting so many emails about it, that it's time that we
clarify.
Yeah, and reveal some details. We have plans to do quite a few podcasts next summer, actually.
Probably 10 to 20.
10 to 20.
30.
Yeah.
10 to 20.
Depends.
Yeah.
Depends on if the spirit moves us or not.
Yeah, right. And the money moves us, too.
So buy your... Oh, crap, can't do that.
Yeah. We've done four live podcasts now? We've done four live podcasts now, and we have plans to do... at least another four more next summer, spanning the globe. By globe, I mean England and
the rest of the world.
China.
That's normally
China.
Normally what globe means.
The first podcast we want to announce is Enlightening 2007, which is going to be July 13th, the day of the U.S. and U.K. release of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. That is going to be in Philadelphia, the University of Penn. That is a big Harry Potter convention. We're looking forward to that. So far, it's me, Ben, Jamie, Micah. You said you're probably coming?
Yeah, the night of the podcast. I'll be there.
Okay, cool. And the Moaning Myrtles are going to be there. And also at the convention, Ben, Jamie, and I will be doing a seminar on creating your own podcasts. And we are the professionals, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're not going to make it like some boring class, like, okay, open up your GarageBand and click on record. Well, we're going to have some of that, but it's going to be fun, too. Also, a big one, we're going to be doing Prophecy 2007. We've been getting so many questions about that. Are you going to be a prophecy? Are you going to be a prophecy? It was,
of course.
It's by the same people who ran the Lumos convention, where we
in
also
Vegas, did a podcast. Baby.
Prophecy is going to be a lot of fun. We're still working on exact details, but we 90% chance we're doing a live podcast there. I personally am looking forward to the Yule Ball at Prophecy. It's going
to
be.
Aww. Jamie's looking forward to the open bar at the Yule Ball.
Very, very much.
There's going to be a Yule Ball there, and we're all very excited. I just want to set the record straight right now. I'm going single. is I think Ben and Jamie and Micah and Laura.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, dude.
No, I'm going with your mom.
Put that in. That's funny.
Well, too much information.
Well, actually, believe it or not, Ben Shane knows a few Harry Potter fangirls, some cute Harry Potter fangirls, see, Ben, like most of them are, who would enjoy going with me because, to be honest, you know, I'm charming.
Ben, I've already
got the looks.
I've already gotten several requests to be someone's date of the Yule Ball. I've turned them all down. I want to be single at the dance and date. I don't
so
want
he can
to
play the
date.
Field.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
What's the play of the field?
As I'm sure all the other guys will agree.
How many guys do you actually think are going to be there?
Well, like there's a big campaign on Facebook right now to get guys going there. So we'll see. We also have plans to do a podcast at each of the two premieres in the United States and England. Jamie, there's plans in the works right now for the one in England, right?
There are, yeah. We don't know where yet, but it's going to be
Buckingham
somewhere.
Palace.
Yes, Buckingham
7 p.m.
Palace. Ben, it's not Buckingham what I say? Palace. Buckingham Palace. Buckingham.
Sounds cooler. What's all Buckingham?
Sounds cooler. Anyway, no, it's not going to be there. It is going to be somewhere big in London, so... you know, make plans to come down for the premiere and come for the podcast.
It'll be a lot of fun. And then in the United States, we'll probably be doing another one in New York City at a bookstore. Maybe Barnes & Noble, Union Square. We'll see. Also, the big announcement this week, Ben. You know, I'm really proud of this. I really didn't think we'd be able to pull it off. But we did. And we had to go through a lot of different contacts. And we've been working vigorously on this for the past few months now. But Ben, we have an interview with a very special guest next week, right?
This person is huge. And I mean huge. The biggest person to ever be on a Harry Potter podcast. Hands down.
Yeah, I mean...
If you miss this interview, you will be kicking yourself.
The magnitude, the side, the... I mean, this guy's famous, too. Everyone knows him. We're looking forward to having him on the show next week. Don't want to give it away.
Come back next week.
Yeah, so.
You have to.
We are looking forward to that.
You never forgive yourself if you don't.
Yeah. Now we're going to move on to a few rebuttals. Our first one comes from Matt Isaacs, 27 of Boston, Massachusetts. We actually got similar emails like his, which reads, one thing I didn't hear about in your argument about the Hollow Gallo connection and the Hangman. Let's not forget what game we were forced to play in order to find out the name of the new book, Hangman. And Micah wasn't on the discussion last week, but he told us once we showed him this email that that's the whole reason he came up with this theory, right?
Whereas we just thought he was intelligent, but no, he's going off somebody else's work.
Yeah, the author of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's beyond.
But I mean, that's very interesting, and I'm kind of surprised none of us really even bothered to make that connection, especially since we talked about playing Hangman.
Well, here's the thing, though. I thought that everyone kind of assumed that was why we were having that discussion.
No,
that's
I just assumed
that. Brought it up.
I just assumed it because what Micah says, Micah, you know, goes. I don't question his judgment.
Yeah.
Actually, so
Micah's the man.
I actually thought that was extremely clever when they sent that in. It didn't even occur to me, actually.
So that certainly adds a lot more merit, more than we were giving it last week. So thanks to Matt and everyone else who pointed that out. But at least Micah knew what he was talking about. Our next one is Brooke, 29 of California. She writes a simple message. Fred and George have a Hangman toy in their shop. Well, that's interesting, Brooke. Well, actually, a couple people sent that in, too. So people are taking all aspects of the Harry Potter books, no matter how minuscule, and they're adding it to our discussion, so that's good. Final rebuttal this week from Leisha Warfield, 44, of Oregon. Okay, laugh at the tarot all you want, but I have been a practitioner of it for many years, and I think it is fun. It's all good to go to Wikipedia and look up some interpretation of the ancient Celtic deck, but newer contemporary decks get newer contemporary interpretations, and the way we read the cards continues to evolve with us. The Hanged One, from my experience, indicates the need to see one's life from a very different perspective, upside down. down, for example. The old perspective is lost or irrevocably changed or informed by the new one. Someone or something in the Harry Potter world is not as it seems. In the Hollows, we're in for a shock as everything we anticipate, everything we've come to believe, is turned upside down and twisted by the devious J.K. Rowling. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, says Alicia. I think that's... her take's pretty interesting. Basically, what she's saying is, from her perspective, the Hangman would just be in turning your world upside down. However, I think that is might be a little too extreme for the Harry Potter books.
Yeah, and she's being a bit mean to us.
By saying, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah,
and, she was
a
little offended because we laughed at the tarot card stuff, I think, on last week's show. Our main discussion this week is, once again, the Deathly Hallows. There's still lots of discussion about it, so we're still going to talk about it on the podcast. If anyone starts to get sick of it, just let us know, and we will... continue to talk about it, yes. Yes.
Yes.
So, this week we're going to focus on Deathly Hallows having a connection to holidays such as Halloween, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. Because in many cultures, Halloween is known as the day when the, quote, veil between the world of the living and dead is at its thinnest, and, quote, spirits may return to world of the living, end quote. And, Laura, to start us off, you found something interesting in the Mexican culture.
Well, yeah, in Mexican culture, Dia de los Muertos is the day of celebration of dead family members and loved ones. And families will create shrines with their family members' like favorite foods and favorite drinks. And it's sort of believed that the spirits of those people come back on Halloween night, or November 1st, I believe, is actually Dia de los Muertos. But they come back and they visit the home and they visit the family in the night. It's kind of interesting because one listener actually sent in that theory about possibly being the beginning of a witch's new year. Because, you know, the veil between the world of living and the dead is at its thinnest and spirits come back. So it's interesting because it's not just a fictional thing. It's actually something that is practiced around the world.
But do you think J.K. Rowling would... First, let me apologize. I'm very congested this week. I'm having a hard time speaking. Anyway, do you think J.K. Rowling would integrate something like this into the books based on Mexican culture?
Well, it's not based on Mexican culture only. That was just sort of an example. There are lots of different cultures around...
No, aren't you saying that it's just it's prevalent in every culture, but...
Yeah, it is. That was just
slightly
an example.
Different in each one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original meaning of Halloween was that spirits came back.
Ah, okay.
It was meant to kind of revere those who had once been alive and remember them. And now it's been turned into a huge franchise. But never mind that.
I don't think it's so far-fetched that she would use it.
No, I don't think so either.
Because it is her favorite holiday.
And so much stuff has happened on Halloween, you know. Harry's parents being killed, can't think of anything else.
So what could happen? Why could the title of the book be based on one day of the school year?
It doesn't necessarily even have to be one day, though.
It's going to be based on the concept?
Well, no, like with...
of celebrating dead family members?
Doesn't it just link to death? Like, you know, it's one more thing that shows the death link, you know, to do with people coming back. But, you know, people coming back can be interpreted in different ways. It doesn't mean coming back, you know, literally. It could mean, you know, their spirits coming back not that, like helping you, you know, something like that. It doesn't have to be them actually coming back to a bodily form. So it's all very, it's just like the title itself, it's all very ambiguous. You can interpret it in a number of ways.
Subjective.
Yeah. I don't think that it's far-fetched at all that she could, you know, take stuff from here. And it's such interesting stuff that I think it would appeal to her.
But then again, a lot of people are going to take that to mean that Dumbledore and Sirius are coming back. And while I think that we might see some sort of, you know, get some sort of visit from a spirit or spirits in the book, I just don't think that they will come back. I really, really don't. And I don't want this to sort of inspire people to start sending in all of, you know, the series is going to come back to me on the veil, because we've done that 10 million times.
What would a visit from a spirit of Sirius entail? Because I really don't think we're going to be seeing Dumbledore.
No, I don't think.
Other than the portrait.
I don't think we'll see Dumbledore at all. I don't think we'll see Sirius either. I mean, really, what purpose would Sirius serve? Joe killed him because there was nothing else for him to do.
Right. How dare you insult him, Laura? He was my favorite character.
It's true. She said it herself. She said he had become no more than a brooding presence in the books.
Well, maybe at that point.
He's still a person.
If you're locked up in a house 24/7, you become a brooding presence too.
So with that said, what could these spirits coming back possibly do? I mean, could they give information to Harry that's going to be vital to his quest for destroying the Horcruxes? Or is it going to be more of like...
Yes. Because one rebuttal that we actually got that I thought was interesting was mentioning that perhaps the Deathly Hallows are in fact the people who Voldemort killed in order to make his Horcruxes, and that they're going to be extremely helpful to Harry in Book 7.
That's superb.
So... I apologize for not knowing who sent that in, but somebody did send it in, and I think it's a great theory.
I actually told you about it the other day.
Oh, yeah. You guys came up with that by yourselves.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is very cool. So
I wonder, just digressing slightly, I wonder who he would kill to make his Horcruxes. Because it's like Dumbledore was talking about...
The people he needs to?
Dumbledore was talking about how if Nagini was a snake... then he would have killed Frank, you know, the housekeeper, to make her. But you'd think that he'd reserve his Horcruxes for particularly special deaths, just like he reserves special items to contain his Horcruxes. I don't know.
I obviously he has no problem with killing anyone, so I think he would kill people who have items that he would be able to hide and protect, and the items would probably have some special value to them.
I think I understand where Jamie's going here, though. For instance, would you think that, I mean... To make a Horcrux, like, if you consider that not everyone's souls are equal, not everyone is as smart as one another, you can't say that all Horcruxes are going to be as powerful or, you know, as potent or whatever. So why wouldn't he save it for more special murders? People who are more powerful.
But it depends how you measure a soul. I mean, if you killed Dumbledore and made a Horcrux, would that be the most powerful Horcrux ever? I mean, like, I doubt that Frank, the housekeeper, has much magical power. And if he came back from the dead to help Harry, what would he do? Hold the lantern so he could see where he was going. You know, I don't know.
I just thought that it was a good idea. I mean, especially when you talk about a sort of hero's journey, having to go to the underworld and all that kind of a thing. It would make sense that these would be the type of people that he would have to encounter in order to gain information, possibly. I think maybe instead of sort of leading the way, maybe it would be something more along the lines of telling them what was a special item to them, maybe where the Horcruxes would be located. Even.
Yeah. My only problem with this theory is that it was very clearly specified in Order of the Phoenix that once a spirit decides to go on, they can't come back or they won't come back. So I can't see spirits like Sirius or Dumbledore or, frankly, Harry's parents coming back to help him because they've just...
So you completely trashed the whole idea of the spirits returning to Earth.
No, I'm not trashing that idea. What I think is there's kind of a... It could be more of a sinister connotation, just like,
well,
you know,
what I'm saying is that what if he goes to them?
Well, yeah, that could happen,
not
too.
They come to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my point.
I think that that's probably a bit more likely. Something else that I was considering was that perhaps evil spirits could return from wherever they go. We don't really have any proof that only good or bad spirits go beyond the veil. We don't know if both go there. You know, so what if Voldemort has some sort of evil spell that conjures up all of his past followers and stuff?
How is Harry going to be able to get to the spirits? Through the veil?
He's going to jump through the veil, Andrew.
What? You really can hold on with one hand so he doesn't fall through completely.
No, well I'm just asking. How do you think he's going to be able to get to the spirits?
He is going to... Actually...
He's going to have to discover something else that's going to lead him to that.
No,
he's not just going to walk into
maybe he has
the
die.
Alley.
Surely... stop being so negative. Surely you can just pull the cover of the veil across and just look in. And... Without actually falling down.
Well, if you,
well,
get someone just touch
really
it, apparently
know.
You get a burnt hand. So.
No, or if you just get one of those like fiber optic things that are used for keyhole surgery and put it down and then look down, you wouldn't actually have to go down. You're fine.
But there's nothing to look down at because remember, Harry went around both sides of it and there was nothing.
No, but if you grab the material over it and pull that away,
You know, how are you going to be able to grab it? I don't think it's...
I don't know. I haven't thought this out. You use one of the... You go to an arcade and grab that thing that goes down and grabs the teddy bears and use that to grab it. And then you can stand, you can stand by the side and, you know... Yeah. Trust me, there's a way. There's a way.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know if there's a way. There probably isn't a way, actually.
So, I mean, I'm just looking at the discussion list here. Are there certain spirits that might come back? We basically just talked about that.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who could possibly come back besides the Horcrux owners, the Dumbledore, Sirius, Harry's parents?
What about Grindelwald? We've heard a lot about him, but there's not been much explanation as to what exactly happened between him and Dumbledore. And now that Dumbledore's dead... What if Grindelwald's kind of like Voldemort? Like, what if he never really died? It never said that he killed him. It just said he defeated him.
I was going to make that point.
Sorry.
I completely agree. And I was just going to point out that it said that he, you know, Dumbledore is famed for his defeat of the, you know, Dark Wizard Grindelwald. But also, it says on that card that he's famed for it, but no one's ever mentioned it, you know? It's like, it seems like a big thing on the Chocolate Frog cards, but... It doesn't in the rest of the series.
Mentioning how? Just in a discussion? Like, hey, you see that Grindelwald?
Yeah, so you defeated Grindelwald, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah. A long time ago, though.
Okay, so this event... Laura and Mikey, you guys are sort of saying that this is going to be an event, like, it's going to be like a what am I looking for? What are they called? Oh, it's going to be like a high school reunion where everyone comes back, only it's going to be a Horcrux reunion, and everyone's going to come back on one night and be like, hey, we're back. Is that what you're going
for? You know what's interesting, though? When I read that, when it says the veil between the world of the living and the dead is at its thinnest and the spirits may return to the world of the living, I never read the books, but the movies, The Lord of the Rings, it kind of reminded me when they went to the underworld to bring back all those spirits. We know that JKR does read.
Really?
Tolkien. So...
We know that she reads.
She reads, yeah.
But, I don't know, that's just a connection I'm trying to make.
Well, yeah, I understand. There's...
Perhaps she's taking something from him.
Now, honestly, I don't really see what the big deal about what this could mean, but could this event not happen on Halloween? I mean, the only reason you're saying it's going to is because it's Hallows or Hallows.
No. The reason they're saying it is because the veil between the living and the dead is supposed to be weakest then. So it's like if you do a seance, that, you know, then it should, you know, potentially in this type of stuff, it's also kind of contact the dead.
It's also kind of talking about the general layout of the books. Usually the big climactic thing happens in, what, June? End of the school year? So it would be kind of weird if the book started in July or whenever and then ended in October. You see what I'm saying?
I'm just thinking, what if it's a completely different time format for the books where you're not going through a full year? Like you were saying, it just goes July to October. You don't see Christmas. You don't see spring again. You don't see the end of the year. It's just...
What happens is she writes, Harry awoke to a blissfully cold October morning, and then it's like advanced 5 months.
Yeah. Laura, why do you want to talk about if this event didn't happen on Halloween?
Well, like I just said, it would kind of change the entire layout of the books. I mean, it wouldn't span over as great a period of time.
It would make things
very different. Well, no, it wouldn't. July to October is not the same as July to June.
No, but I'm not saying everything has to end on Halloween. Something else in the books could happen through the rest of the year. But
I guess it could be that. I mean, that could happen on Halloween, and it could be a factor throughout the entire book.
But Joe does want to make this a completely different book, I think. So, and that would be very interesting if the book only spanned across a 2 or 3 month time period.
Yeah, one day. That'd be awesome.
One day. Yeah, it's like 24. The whole season, 24 hours.
Yeah, it's just like 24, and it counts down. They're like 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. Harry sleeps.
Well, here's a question. Do we think that any of the people that Voldemort killed in order to make his Horcruxes are people that we know or have heard of?
Yeah.
Or are they completely different characters?
Don't you see? The thing is, all through the books, they point towards important people. Like, when Moody was showing Harry the picture of the Order of the Phoenix, he was like, you know, Dorcas Meadows, Voldemort killed her personally, and stuff like that. So Voldemort obviously thinks that some people are more worthy of you know, of... respect and stuff than other people, and, you know, in terms of their magical power. So I don't know.
Alright, so I personally think that I like this theory more than the one that we talked about last week. One, because this one is less how do I put it? Archaic. And I think it would make more sense for something like this to happen where these spirits would return.
Well,
this
theory isn't as symbolic. I think that's the big difference. And I think that both theories can apply. I think that
it's not
Joe,
as Greek.
Well, I know, but she likes the symbolism.
But isn't it sort of, it's, I mean, Harry Potter's a fantasy, but if you see ghosts coming back from the dead, it just turns into a, I don't know, you know, even
Even in Aladdin,
where, you know, it's the biggest fantasy thing of all time, the genie says you can't bring people back from the dead. So if it happens in Harry Potter, I don't know. I think it.
But they won't be back from
it.
The dead.
But they'll be. You know, I mean, I don't know.
They're in spirit form, but we know that they exist. We think because you hear the whispers beyond the veil.
Would they come back to in the same form as, say, when
they went in
Priori Incantatum? Happened
well,
in book four.
Maybe they won't. No, because those weren't even real spirits.
No, but they were still sort of sentient and realized what was happening at that time, you know. So, like, it isn't as though they were imprints that, you know, didn't have any knowledge of what was going on.
Micah, you wrote up last week's discussion. What do you think about this one compared to last week's? You like this one better or what?
Well, I don't necessarily think that they compete with each other. I think what Laura said
was
right.
Do you think both of these could happen in the same plot, or either one at all?
Yeah, because the last one was more symbolic. It was more just sort of telling the story and kind of looking at different directions that Joe can go in, whereas this is kind of saying, this is what we think the Deathly Hallows mean, whereas last week we were more exploring the Hanged Man and what that represented.
This is plot-driven. What we're discussing
right
now.
Yeah, this is more plot-driven. I think last week we were more reading into symbolism.
What we discussed last week is kind of like things you might have missed, is what last week was.
Yeah, like the bar and what those earlier rebuttals were saying about the hangman being in the Weasley joke shop. And
I mean, I think the fact that – I wish I sort of knew this last week so I could have fangirled about it more, but I think the fact that she made it a hangman – game just gives away.
I thought you guys all noticed that.
No. I think that just gives away that it's going to relate directly to it. Final thoughts from anyone else? Or anyone?
Well, Jamie, what do you think? Do you think that... Which theory do you think is more likely, or do you think that they're both...
I don't know. I think all of these theories, there's got to be... there has to be overlap, you know. These are all... Every single one we've talked about is interlinked. So I think the hangman, there's got to be something there. The hangman thing, the game we played, is that sort of sold it for me. I think it has to be something to do with that. I like the idea that there's a veil between the living and the dead, and obviously the veil link and the one in the Department of Mysteries. And obviously we're going back to the Department of Mysteries. So I think that, you know, there has to be something there, and the veil is obviously a key thing in the entire books. But the hangman thing, and also... You've got the pub in Goblet of Fire where they were talking about the thing. So I really, really, really like that theory. But then
finish.
No, I can think of anything.
Do you think that if Harry had visited the Vale in Order of the Phoenix on Halloween, per se, do you think there would have been a difference in his attraction to it, or maybe what he would have heard through the Vale? Or Micah?
Oh, that's interesting. No, that's very interesting. Like, maybe the voices might have been a bit more clear.
Yeah.
He might not necessarily...
Or maybe there would have been more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they'd have been partying.
Hmm.
Just a little thought I had.
That's interesting.
That's very good. That's
very cool. Well,
why don't
we tell Harry to go give it a shot?
Well, maybe that's what he'll do.
It makes sense, though,
because...
right? The barrier would be the thinnest on that day. Maybe you still can't... You probably still can't get through it, but without... Well, you could. You just wouldn't come out alive, but maybe you could just get the clearest idea of it. Maybe that's why it sits there in the Department of Mysteries. Every Halloween, it's like, hey, let's all visit the Vale, see what's new with
Maybe Harry might not find out anything about Horcruxes, but maybe he'll find out more about death, and that could sort of help him towards defeating Voldemort.
Yeah. When he goes to see it on Halloween, perhaps it doesn't solve the mystery, but when he goes to the Vale on Halloween, he will learn more. That could solve something.
Y'all crazy.
Okay. On that note, we have we of course been getting a ton of listener feedback about all of our Deathly Hallows discussion, and we have some voicemails we had planned to use last week, but the show last week already had plenty of content as it was, so we are going to play a few this week.
Hey, MuggleCast, this is Brantley. I was listening to episode 67 today on my plane to Indiana, and you all are talking about who might betray Harry in Deathly Hallows, and I think that a likely character might be Scrimmagor, or however you say his name, the new minister, because I'm rereading book 6, and he seems kind of suspicious. He walks with a limp. I don't know if that would mean anything, but anyway, I was just wondering what y'all thought. And play pickle.
See, I don't think he would be. I think he was just more kind of a hindrance to Harry. I see a lot of the ministry people as kind of being gray area. You know? I mean, they're not good, they're not bad, they're just a pain.
Well, I think too that Harry expects them to sort of kiss up to him because, you know, they're proven wrong and he knows he was right. So Harry might expect them to treat him like a king, but when he doesn't, when Scrimgeour sort of treats him how he did, it's sort of like it comes off even more rotten.
Not to mention, I didn't know that having a limp made him evil.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Maybe this is a boy or girl, whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's a guy.
Maybe the caller was making the connection that, this is what immediately came to me, in the Goblet of Fire film, Mad-Eye Moody's got a limp, imposter Mad-Eye Moody. That's the only thing I could think of, though.
I don't think any of the other bad guys had limps.
No, but, so why is he bringing it up?
I don't know.
All right, next voicemail.
Just one of the many, many emails and calls you're going to get about Harry Potter 7. This is Mercedes from Maryland. And I was just, as many probably fans did, look up the word for the meaning hollow. And hollow basically means sacred or holy. It's like Halloween used to be All Hallows Eve. So maybe it means that death's sacred, just sacred people die, as in everybody good dies. Or maybe it's saying that death is, it's glorifying death, maybe, as in it's not such a bad thing for any of the characters. Just like to hear what you thought about that. Thanks.
Bye. No, don't you think Joe is kind of like a Gandalf-like figure who says that, you know, death is just, is but the next great adventure? And this
I think
is,
Dumbledore
is
said that, Jamie, not Gandalf.
Okay, no, it wasn't. It was Gandalf the Battle of the Pelennor Fields when they're about to break down the gate and Pippin's like, oh, sandy bitches on the... Actually, that was an awful accent. But whatever he said, and then he was like, death, no. Death is but the next greatest adventure. So, yeah. Oh, well, perhaps Dumbledore said it as well. Did he say it?
Yes.
Well, yes. So did Gandalf. And Gandalf came first. Actually, no, whoever said it, that this is, you know, right, look, it means sacred or high. Oh my god, I'm clutching at straws. Sorry.
You're what?
Okay. I think it just goes along with the kind of general meaning of the title.
It does, and it goes along with what it could not be a bad thing, this title. You know, we think that Deathly Hallows is automatically a bad thing because it involves death, but it doesn't have to be death of a good character, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing, this death. You could say that Dumbledore's death was good. You know, he didn't die in vain. So, I don't know. I don't think it could be something like that.
I like her pointing out that, or suggesting really that all sacred people die. That kind of goes along with Micah's theory that specific people were used to make the Horcruxes, like it was intentional. What do you think, Micah?
I don't like the idea that hollow would mean holy in the sense of religion. Maybe holy, how she refers it to being sacred. I just don't think that Jo would cross that line. I mean, she's been very careful about not involving any type of religious wording in her
I don't think that's what she was saying, though. I think she was just kind of using a kind of generally referencing it.
Some questions from voicemailers, we do have a couple emails, but I also wanted to bring up, we didn't really piss this on MuggleNet because it's one of those things that we just assume it's not true. And I thought we could just bring it up on the show quick. Amazon.com, when you do a search for Deathly Hallows, they have a release date of March 31st on there. And it got me It's pretty unrealistic, but it got me thinking that would that not be so cool though? The book only 3 months away.
No, because we don't have time to prepare for anything, man.
Yeah.
Like, well, we can whip up a podcast together real quick, but I thought that was interesting. And whenever this release date, if there was a release date posted on some 10-year-old's Yahoo GeoCities site, people would take it seriously. People are very how do I put
gullible.
It?
Believing,
gullible, anxious for a title, which leads them to believe anything that they see. In this case, Amazon.com is probably just using it as a filler. Also got me thinking.
Barnes & Noble keeps saying it's 7707, and we get emails about that all the time. People saying, my dad's uncle's brother works at Barnes & Noble, which would also be your great uncle.
Wait, my dad. Yeah. Yeah.
But the March 31st date got me thinking maybe that's what Amazon heard when we would have a release date buy. Do you think that's possible?
Maybe.
Like, hey, look out but for a release date by the end of March.
What's special about March 31st?
No, there's nothing. But, I mean, you know, Amazon posted it, and now I'm thinking...
You know something interesting? Yeah, yeah. Something interesting. The release dates to the books traditionally come out 6 months beforehand, and 6 months after March 31st is October 31st, Halloween. Dun-dun-dun.
Actually, no.
I got an email.
No, Ben, email. That's September 31st.
No, it's not.
Well done, Ben.
Yeah, 6 months after March 31st.
March,
is September
April 31st. 31st, May, June, July, August, Socktober.
Go back to sleep. Socktober.
I got an email talked about that when Cheryl was doing the podcast, she said that typically, the book takes 6 months from after Joe sent it to them. It takes 6 months from that point to publication. So Joe would have to get it to them very, very soon for it to be out in July. And I don't think it's gonna be out that. You know, I don't think.
Although, I mean, we got a release date with Half-Blood Prince right before Christmas, and then it came out 7 months later, basically, so...
That is very true.
But that is a good point, though. I mean, they need time, so... And I
right,
doubt
but we
gonna...
didn't get the release date until 6 months after the title came out.
Good point.
Yeah, but that might be different this time. She might have gotten so close to the end and kind of decided to do it a little differently. Release the title when she's pretty much done writing the book... And then send the book off in January or February.
I hope not, because I have to work all of July, so I'd pretty much be screwed for going to anything. Should I just quit?
Yes.
Yeah, one final email this week from Brianna 16 of Virginia Beach, Virginia. She writes, great job on the main discussion for this week, episode 70. It was really enlightening to see a new side of the debate over the meaning of Deathly Hallows. I want to take analization a little too far, sorry Ben, but in mentioning Hermione's ancient runes education, I couldn't help but remember the mix-up between two runes that she had in Order of the Phoenix. On page 715 of the U.S. hardback edition, JKR stated, and this is Hermione talking, I mistranslated... It was, said Hermione furiously. It means partnership, not defense. I mix it up with I was. Sorry, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, too. And then Ron says, ah, well, said Ron lazily, that's only one mistake, isn't it? You'll still get... And then Hermione cuts him off by saying, oh, shut up, said Hermione angrily. It could be the one mistake that makes the difference between a pass and a fail. And then Brianna writes, if Snape is the hanging man that the symbols from this episode refer to, it might be possible that Hermione's mix-up between the runes also foretells Snape's allegiance to the Order rather than Voldemort. It could signify that, if Harry doesn't acknowledge Snape's commitment to the Order, it may be the difference between life and death, instead of pass or fail, like in the rune translation. So that's interesting. Thank you, Brianna.
I don't know if it relates to Snape. I think the end part may be right, that if she misinterprets something, maybe it does mean the choice between life and death, but Snape's allegiance to the Order, I don't know how that really ties in.
Yeah, I like the idea that Hermione could potentially kill everyone if she screws up.
Yeah. one final rebuttal this week. I know I said the last email was the last one. Concerning the apologies
potion talk that we had, Jill 15 of Upstate New York writes, you guys were talking about how the Polyjuice potion may be able to be used to change a person's age, but as you went on, I began to think that maybe there's some magic that makes the person change into the other person exactly the age they are presently, regardless of the age of the hair or whatever is used. This would mean that if, say, Voldemort used some hair from when he was a teenager, he would just end up exactly the same as he was at that time. On a sort of unrelated note, Andrew was talking about how useless the periodic table was, and I found it funny as I was doing chemistry lab, as I was listening to the show. I did not put that email in because of what that said. Anyways, keep up the good work, and I love the show. So I don't know if we ever put closure onto what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I agree with him. I really don't.
Jill's yeah. a girl.
Oh, I thought you said Joel. Sorry. Sorry, Jill. No, I agree with Jill because I don't think that using a hair that, you know, was plucked off someone's head when they were 3 years old would make a difference. It's still their DNA. It's still part of their body. I think it'll just transform them into whatever they are presently.
What happens if you like took a hair from Dumbledore now and drank it in Polyjuice?
Would you be dead? Yeah,
you wouldn't die. Yeah, you just right. Oh, I don't know. Perhaps no, you wouldn't die. You just turn into Dumbledore temporarily, and then
that'd be an awful prank. So you wouldn't. But wait, if it takes your current state and you're dead...
No, but you couldn't die then come back to life. Well, you know, I mean, it's a paradox to die and come back to life. You couldn't turn into somebody dead and then turn back. You could only be a manifestation of death, you know, that isn't actually death.
Jamie, to wrap things up today, do you have a British joke for us?
I do.
Okay.
I have a few.
Then I have a British story joke to tell.
Awesome. This one comes... straight from Claire 17 of Ireland, and it's a joke about Mad-Eye Moody. Mad-Eye Moody walks into a shop. While waiting in line to buy a new hip flask, his magical eye suddenly falls out of its socket. Luckily, a beautiful witch just ahead of him in the line turns around just in time to grab the eye before it hits the floor. Thoroughly grateful, Mad-Eye asks the witch if she would like to join him for a dinner at a local, very, very nice restaurant. That evening, the witch, pleasantly surprised and impressed by the delicious and expensive meal, asks Mad-Eye, "So, do you treat all witches like this?" To which he replies, "Only the ones that catch my eye." When she told me I was average, she was just being mean.
I get it, Matt. Kevin would be laughing his butt off right now. Alright, I actually have a British joke to tell everyone.
Oh,
it's based on a quick story, actually.
After this, go on.
You're not gonna... This doesn't involve America, does it?
It involves something you did, and you made a fool out of yourself that I can't let go.
Okay, well, I'm gonna tell something that you made a fool out of yourself, and we'll be even. Okay. Alright, so... Jamie was with me last week, and I took him to the mall because he wants to get the whole American experience in. So we go in for a little bit. We come out. We're heading back to my car, and I notice Jamie's a little ahead of me, and he starts walking his way over there. And I notice he's going for the driver's side of the car to get in. And I don't say anything because I just thought maybe he wants to throw the bags in the back seat or something on my side. So I just let it go until he starts... And he can't drive in America, obviously.
Can't drive in Britain either. Sure.
But he starts opening the door. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And Jamie, you had thought that you were too used to England. You were thinking that was the passenger side.
It was completely habitual, just walking around.
So did you actually get in?
That's pretty funny.
I would have got in. No.
Because I was that.
I would have done it. If he'd opened it, I'd have got in.
Well, I think once you saw the steering wheel.
Yeah, and thought, this could be the wrong side.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now to pay Andrew back for this, I have a story as well where he...
Can I at least...
Andrew, don't even think about it. No, you can't.
No, edit this out. Honestly, the worst moment of my life.
Okay, yeah. I went to Andrew's high school. And spent a day there, and it was absolutely awesome, and I met loads of extremely nice people. But to go there, since students there can't just bring friends in randomly, I had to be sort of considered a guest of honour there, a guest speaker. And to do this thing, I had to do an interview with two other foreign exchange students and Andrew. And Andrew chaired this thing, and there was a guy from Germany there, a girl from Italy, and me. And Andrew was asking questions about school, how school works in our respective countries, what we
right,
have
and
fun,
the,
what we
it was
eat
very early
like
in the
that.
Morning. Okay, I had very little sleep.
It was early in the morning. So what happened was, Andrew was talking about attractions in our countries, and he was talking to the girl from Italy, and he said, so is there anything Are there any particular special landmarks to see in your country, apart from the Eiffel Tower, of course?
And then he slipped in
oh no, actually wait, that's in France. Well done, Andrew.
Thank you, Jamie. And on the final cut of that video, which is going on the local district station, you will not find that screw up because I removed it.
And he did.
We'll never be seen further than this podcast. But Jamie, since there are a lot of American listeners, what do you think about American school, high school?
I thought it was absolutely awesome. Yeah, I had the best time ever.
Ranger's class is hard at all.
All your friends were very nice. No. I'd forgotten how easy high school was.
It was a particularly easy day. I mean,
well, yeah, it was awesome, and TV Tech was fun, and doing the morning show thing was exceptionally fun.
ShawneeTV.com.
Yeah,
Stephen Capello.
Watch it. So yeah, it was fun, and the halls were fantastic. It was just like in they were awesome. It was just like in the movies. It was just like from the movies, and you know, lined with lockers, and lunch was awesome as well. I went to lunch and
I had pizza. When you went to my health class and my world cultures class, in both of them, you were handed a worksheet and you were excited to do it until you actually looked at the work, and then you were like...
And then there was no way I was doing it. In one, we had to label a map of Africa, which my cat could do.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like doing that. But I kept the sheet, then I threw it in Andrew's trash can.
Yeah.
Which I kind of regret because it was actually quite interesting and it could have been a nice souvenir. But no, I had an awesome time at Shawnee High School.
Well, good. I'm glad. And everyone really enjoyed your presence at high school. They're still talking for you.
You should come to Mount Ridge High School.
Talking for you? They're actually looking for you. I hear Mount Ridge High School, that's a real experience.
Really?
It's not even like a regular American high school. It's sort of like you show up.
And dude, they all worship Ben Shane, too. It's like, I just get away with everything.
Well, on that note, I think that does wrap up MuggleCast number 72. We'll be back next week. I guess we'll do some more Deathly Hallows stuff next week, but it's all going to be preempted by our very special exclusive interview next week with a very special
guest.
Huge. I cannot believe we got him. It's really unbelievable. So
okay, we'll I have a quick one last joke. I said to my gym instructor, "Can you teach me to do the splits?" He asked, how flexible are you? So I said, "Well, I can't do Tuesdays."
Funny. So on that note, if you want to send Jamie more terrible jokes, you can also always use the MuggleCast feedback form on MuggleCast.com to contact any of us. You can also send snail mail to the P.O. Box, Ben.
P.O. Box 223, Mount Ridge, Kansas 67107.
If you have a voicemail question for us concerning things like Deathly Hallows, we're looking for those good questions right now because, of course, we're trying to focus all of our shows around the Deathly Hallows. You can call 1-218-20-MAGIC in the United States. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can dial 020-8144-0677. If you're in Australia, you can dial 02-800-35668. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast. Just try to keep your message under 30 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible. You can also contact any of us using our first name at staff.mugglenet.com. And also don't forget MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, Frapper, Last.fm, FanLinks, Forums, Dig.com, Podcast Alley, Yahoo Podcast. It's all there on MuggleCast.com. Also, help us out. Tell your friends about MuggleCast. Let them know about the podcast, what you think of it. Because one of our greatest, one of the greatest ways to spread the word about the show is word of mouth. And it works. And we're always hearing stories about how people are telling their friends, and then their friends get into it. And then their friends. Yeah, and
it's like an umbrella
thing. Yeah,
exactly.
It is.
Yeah. The show's precisely like an umbrella.
It's shaped like it.
I couldn't think of any two things that are more alike than the show and an umbrella.
I mean, I meant umbrella sort of just came out. Sorry.
We've had some great episodes. Lots of downloads lately, of course, because there's been a lot of interest in Deathly Hallows. So we thank you, and we thank everyone for listening.
Andrew, it's Hallows, not Hollows. So just
Hallows.
Yeah,
Halo.
Just call it Hallows. DH. I can't wait to hear DH. Have you read DH yet?
I'm just going to call it Duh.
HBP. It's so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. So, once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Mike Atanabal.
We'll see everyone next week for episode 7.
By the way, Joe,
time for a new FAQ poll.
Oh, she's spoken.
Take care of that, please.
Mikey, at this point, he just watches the site. If anything is older than a month, he reminds Joe. That was good, Micah. Good work. We'll see you everyone next week for episode 73.
Bye-bye.